Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you for tuning in to Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm Randy Bushover. The program highlights local businesses and services in the region. And if there's a local business or service you'd like to hear from, send me an email at randy.bushover@entercom.com. Not so much a business or a service, but still an important matter to touch base on. And we'll do that with Jim Potts Jr., who is the Vice President and Director of the Special Investigations Division for NYCM Insurance Company. And Jim, basically, a kind of an overview, fraud is the issue that we're tackling with you today.
It is, on behalf of the Alliance. Thank you for having me in. We specialize in this area, so we think it's important, but we want the consumer to know why it's important to them as well. So if you have an auto or a home or an apartment or insure anything here in the state of New York, you're essentially paying a fraud tax for people that are gaming the system.
And among those things that you just listed, also you've mentioned that opioid fraud is a pretty big thing these days. Has it become bigger than the other ones you mentioned, the workers' compensation and auto-related issues?
Well, it's certainly at the forefront of people's thoughts, because now there's virtually hardly anybody that we know that hasn't been touched in one shape or form by the opioid epidemic. So it's family members, friends, people that we work with have been affected by it, sometimes legitimately. So there will be a legitimate car accident, for example, and somebody will get prescribed pain pills, and then be on that roller coaster ride because they get addicted to them.
And one of the problems, if you will, with looking into the whole question of opioid fraud, it's not just people misusing those pills and getting prescriptions, but the people writing those prescriptions as well.
That's a great point. So when's the last time that you got a prescription? You actually opened it up and counted the number of pills that you're supposed to get. So if you get 100 pills a week, do you actually open up the container and make sure that you got 100? And if you didn't, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal if you only got 96, but those drugs on the street are worth anywhere from $25 to $30 a pill. So every time a pharmacist or a doctor's office shorts you those pills, that's a $100 bill.
Wow, that is definitely something to consider. And also, as long as we're talking about the painkillers and opioid fraud, the idea of lack of productivity, similar to workers' compensation in a way, because that also plays a role.
It does. So people will get caught up in the cycle of just thinking that they're not going to go to work because, you don't want to do anything when you're on an opioid. So you stay home from work. You're going to have marital family problems. It affects everything that you do. So the next step of that is that hopefully somebody will go to get treatment, but there's actually fraud that occurs there as well. So an unscrupulous provider, they actually broker patients now to go to treatment centers, and the insurance company will pay for a gold standard treatment program, and then when the patient goes there, they get very little, if any, counseling or care at all, and the rest of that money gets split between the doctor and the broker.
And something else that we haven't touched on yet, drug diversion is another part of the equation too. So many parts of this, I guess.
Of course, there are just 8 ways to steal. So drug diversion involves sometimes the patient taking their own prescriptions and asking the doctor for more. And if the doctor prescribes them more, then they will take those and then they'll do what the doc is doing and frankly go sell them on the street and make some money. They'll still keep their supply because they're addicted, but then they'll take the overage and they'll sell them to their friends, for people on the street.
Now, is there a way to quantify, at least from just the perspective of opioid fraud, the cost to people in New York State?
Well, overall, we don't have it split out by opioid addiction versus auto fraud, but the nationwide total is right around $80 to $90 billion annually. And so you can back that into New York, which is one of the larger states population-wise, and we've got major cities that contributes to that. So here in New York, we're probably in the $20 to $30 billion range of that 90.
Jeez, that's a considerable amount for sure. Speaking with Jim Potts Jr., Vice President and Director of the Special Investigations Division for NYCM Insurance Company. This is Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN. And took a majority of the time so far talking about opioid fraud as a kind of an umbrella, because the whole idea of the campaign that the New York Alliance Against Insurance Fraud is putting out this year is insurance fraud you pay every day, every way. And we touched on some of the other things. I want to get back to workers' compensation and talk a little bit about how that fits in.
So we just finished talking about opioid fraud. Workers' compensation fraud actually can lead into opioid fraud. And so workers' comp fraud at its purest is either an employer who misclassifies his employees to pay a cheaper rate. So a roofing contractor, for example, that has 10 guys on a job will only say that 3 people are on a roof instead of 10 people. And that gives him a competitive advantage when he doesn't have to pay those high workers' compensation premiums, so he can charge her a lower amount. Then there's the employee of that contractor that can fake an injury, frankly. And then they can go to an unscrupulous doctor and get prescribed, fill in the blank, opioids, and then they can get on the opioid roller coaster. So one thing can actually lead into the other.
And as far as the injuries themselves are concerned, are we talking simple things like faking a sprain or a break? I mean, it'd be a little harder, I would think, to substantiate a break, because then you would necessarily have to have an x-ray that you had one.
That's a great point. So a lot of these things are what we call soft tissue. So they are sprains and strains. But a doctor will prescribe an opioid, to relax a person so that they're not in pain, because that is what the standard is. So they will prescribe them, those opioids, and, they're off to the races.
And another part of the workers' compensation fraud issue is that the amount that is stolen, according to the information that I have here in front of me, $500 million in workers' compensation premiums, taxes, and other expenses is the cost?
Every single year. So contractors that are misclassifying, their employees or the employees themselves committing that fraud, $500 million is probably a very conservative estimate of what that costs. Think of the number of contractors in the state and the number of employees that those contractors have.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I don't understand, me being, someone who wouldn't perpetrate something like this, if you're a company, what is the supposed benefit of you trying to make these claims and then get money back? Why would you even bother going through all that trouble?
Well, there's a price advantage if you're the contractor and you're not paying the proper premium. So you can simply charge less for your services. The other thing that we look at is that somebody becomes so numb to that, and they will look at that and say, why am I fighting against the system? Everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to misclassify my employees too. I have to do this, otherwise I can't remain competitive. So there are pressures that are put on, and it makes good people make bad decisions.
And the one thing that we haven't really gotten into extensively yet, the auto-related fraud, which is also a sizable part of the problem, and the whole notion of staging accidents.
So there was a traffic jam on my way into the station this morning. Those bumper-to-bumper, scenarios are just filled with traffic accidents. First of all, they occur because of a traffic accident. But fender benders occur all throughout the state. There are staged losses that occur here in Buffalo. Most people would probably equate that to a major metropolitan area. Well, Buffalo is a major metropolitan area. And there are groups of people here that run around looking for female, older people to prey on, to pull in front of their car and slam on their brakes so it makes you look like you're at fault for hitting them in the rear. So your company then becomes liable, and every person in every single passenger car here in the state has $50,000 worth of no-fault coverage, and they will try and take that entire $50,000.
Now, does it complicate things if the person they happen to hit has no insurance?
It does, but then if the person who did the stage loss also has insurance, and they do, they just simply go to their own carrier.
And it's not just individuals that have come up with this scheme. This is actually not really mafia, is not what the word I'm looking for, but there is an organized component of this.
That's a very astute comment. There are organized groups. So, you know, we wouldn't say that it's organized crime, but it's organized in the sense that there are groups of people in neighborhoods that are known for doing these kinds of losses.
And we've mentioned the bigger part of it, but there's also a not so insignificant part where people will go out of state to register their vehicles to take advantage of presumably lower rates.
That's a true story. So people will go into Pennsylvania or New Jersey and register and insure their car because it is much less expensive than New York. One of the reasons it's less expensive is the fraud tax.
And obviously where you run afoul is that's not really legal in New York State. Right?
So you're going to have an issue if your carrier in New Jersey or Pennsylvania finds that your car is principally garaged in New York. You lied on your application to get a lower rate. And depending on who you're insured with, that's not going to be a good thing.
Now, we've talked about bullet points for the bigger aspects, the auto-related fraud we just covered, workers' compensation, and opioid fraud, which has become even bigger. Any other aspect of insurance where there are issues that people should be aware of or be made aware of?
Well, that's a great question. One of the things that that we look at as our parents and grandparents have gotten older, as we've gotten older, is that we now have people that come over and take care of their homes, either home health care aides or people that come in and do cleaning and gardening and things disappear around the house. So we're asking people that have people into their house to be very aware of who they're having come over in the first place. And second of all, just make sure that they safeguard their personal belongings.
For people who want more information, website address would be?
www.fraudny.com.
Easy enough, fraudny.com. Jim, very entertaining and informative as always, and thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
That is Jim Potts, Jr., Vice President and Director of the Special Investigations Division for NYCM Insurance Company. This is Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.